Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 5, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. And this book, this powerful book, presents Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God, and all who believe in Him have eternal life. And we're seeing His ministry. We're in chapter 5, of course, and Jesus has come to Jerusalem for the feast. Normally, He's in the northern part of Israel, but He's come down to Jerusalem for a feast. Last time we saw that in the first part of chapter 5, that He'd healed this man at the Pool of Bethesda who had been there for 38 years. The problem was this, that He healed the man on the Sabbath day, and the religious leaders are upset. They're going after Him. In fact, they would like to kill Him, and there's two problems that we saw. One, that they said that He broke the Sabbath. He didn't break the Sabbath. They said He did because He broke their rules, and that He called God His Father, making Himself equal with God. Now, that is true. God is His Father, and He was equal with God because He is God. So they're going after Him, and it says even to kill Him. Well, this morning we're going to see, how does Jesus deal with these religious leaders, and how does He answer their charges? And actually, as I told you earlier, if you started at verse 19 and went through the end of the chapter all the way through verse 47, that's the discourse. That's where Jesus answers all this. This morning we're just going to see the first part, and we see some great truths, even dealing with salvation, because when we get to verse 24, I think it's a very powerful verse. So let me raise some questions for you to think about. First of all, how does Jesus justify breaking the Sabbath? Second, how is Jesus a Savior? And the third thing is, how is Jesus a judge? And we'll see that as we go through our passage. Well, let me start with this question. How do you see Jesus? What do you think of when somebody says Jesus? What do you think of? So many people look at Jesus in different ways. Some people say, well, they think of Jesus, they think of the baby. They think baby Jesus born in the manger. They think of that. Then others say, no, I think of Jesus as the risen Savior, as come forth from the grave. Just like last week in Easter, we thought about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how He conquered death. Some say, no, I think of Jesus as the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Others say, no, I see Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the prophet, priest, and king. I mean, He's the great prophet because He not only speaks the word of God, He is the word of God. He is the priest who offers Himself as the final sacrifice. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords who will rule in righteousness and justice. Some say, no, I see Him more as the great teacher of all time, that He was the example that people would see. We find in Isaiah 9 that He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. So how do you see Jesus? This morning, as we look at John 5, Jesus talks about Himself, and what He really says is two things. He sees Himself as the Savior and the Judge. He talks about being the Savior and Judge. He's the Savior, the one who gives life, who gives eternal life, but He's also the Judge, the one before whom all must stand, the one who has the authority to judge. So as we look through the passage, that's what we actually see Jesus as as we put it this way, go to the next slide. I think He's the life giver and the judge. And we'll see that as we go through this. He gives spiritual life and physical life, but He is also the one that all people are accountable to. He is the judge in that way. As we begin, let's just remember where we are. Early days of Jesus' ministry. So far, John has recorded three signs. Let me remind you of the book. The book of John breaks down this way. The first 12 chapters, John actually records, this is the Apostle John, gives us seven signs that Jesus did so that we would see that He is the Christ, the Messiah, and believe in Him for eternal life. So he gives us seven signs in the first 12 chapters. Chapters 13 through 17 of the Upper Room Discourse, in other words, Jesus' last night with His men right before He goes to the cross. Then chapters 18 through the rest of the book to chapter 21 is Jesus going to the cross, dying, being buried, rising again, and then meeting with His men. So in the first 12 chapters, we see seven signs so that people would look at these signs and say that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in Him, they would have eternal life. We have seen three of the signs so far. We have seen where He changed the water to wine. That was at Cana of Galilee. Then He healed a nobleman's son. This man came to Him and said, my son is sick. He's sick at Capernaum. That's a long way from here. Will you go? Jesus said, I don't have to go. Just go back to your son as well. And He healed him. And then last time, we saw where He healed this paralyzed man. The man had been basically sick for 38 years. He was laying by the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus told him, get up. Take up his little bed and walk. And the guy rolled up his bed and was walking. And as he did, the religious leader said, you can't carry that. You can't carry that on a Sabbath day. Why are you carrying that around? And when they found out it was Jesus, they come back and they've been talking to Jesus. And here's their issues. And I mentioned them a while ago. They say, you broke the Sabbath. And they say that you're making yourself equal with God. That was the two things. Now, look at verse 18. We see the issue. It says, for this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. They weren't just persecuting him. They weren't just going after him. They wanted to kill him. Why? Because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, that's the charge. Now, I mentioned a while ago that Jesus didn't break the Sabbath. Jesus never broke any of the 613 commandments found under the Mosaic Law. He kept them perfectly. He's the perfect God. Now, he broke some of their rules because they came up with all kinds of rules, and he broke their rules. And so they're saying, you broke our Sabbath rules, and he didn't. Second is, it said that you're calling God your Father, and you're making yourself equal with God. In the Jewish mindset, if you said, God is my Father, you're saying, I am the Son of God. I'm God. And, of course, Jesus could say, you're exactly right. You got that one right. I didn't break the Sabbath, but I am calling God my Father, and I am equal with God because he is God. And we'll see it as we go through. But beginning at verse 19 all the way through the end of the chapter is this talk where Jesus talks about that. Let me break down the passage for you just so you can see what we got today. Verses 19 and 20, Jesus is equal with the Father. And then begin about 21 through about 23, we see Jesus talks about that he is the life giver and the judge. And then the last part, he really emphasizes the part about being the life giver. He puts some judge part in there, and we'll see that. But he talks about spiritual life and physical life. And when he talks about raising people from the dead, he talks about a division, and we'll see that as we go through it. Well, look at verse 18 again. It says, for this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. They wanted to kill him. Why? Because he's not only breaking the Sabbath, he wasn't, but they said he was, but he is also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And so that's what he says. Now, how does he answer them? What is he going to say to them? Because they're saying, you broke the Sabbath and you're claiming to be God. Look what he says in verse 19. He deals with the issues. He says, Therefore Jesus answered them and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Now, I want you to notice something that there are going to be three times in our passage this morning. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. Now, that's a very powerful statement. The word truly is in Greek, it's A-M-E-N. It goes back to a Hebrew word, A-M-E-N. It means truth. So when you say the word amen, which is really the word here, it's being translated truly, truly. It's really saying amen, amen, which means truth. So when you say, in Jesus' name we pray, amen, you're saying, in Jesus' name we pray, truth. Because you're saying, this is the truth. This is what I've just said. So Jesus says, he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you. Now when he says that, it means, listen carefully. I'm about to say something that's important. That's what he's doing. And so he says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Now what he's saying is this, you say I'm breaking the Sabbath. I'm not breaking the Sabbath. I'm only doing what the Father does. I'm watching the Father. He says the Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. He's basically saying, I came to do the will of the Father. Whatever the Father's doing, I'm doing. Notice this, he didn't come to do his will, he came to do the Father's will. He's doing the same as the Father. The Father keeps on going. You understand that God the Father created the heavens and the earth, and 6 days created the heavens and the earth, rested on the seventh, but from this point on, he is always working. He is saving people, and he is keeping the world together, you might say. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm just only doing what the Father's doing. You say, I'm breaking the Sabbath. I'm not breaking the Sabbath. I'm just doing what the Father does. He said, truly, I say to you, the Son can only do of himself, can't do of himself unless he sees what the Father's doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. He's just doing what the Father. And so bottom line, he's saying, yes, I'm just like the Father. I'm doing what the Father does. See, the Father breaks the Sabbath by continuing to work on the Sabbath as he holds the world together and he does all these things. He says, I'm just doing what the Father does. I'm only doing what I see the Father doing. He is carrying on the will of the Father. You notice that Jesus Christ was sent into the world by the Father. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. So he's calling, once again, notice he's calling the Father, you know, his Father. He says, I'm the Son and the Father. I see what the Father does. I do that. Now, if you look back at verse 17, that was one of the keys. We saw it last time, but he said this. He answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. He says, the Father continues to serve and to work, and I'm doing the same thing. So when they come to him and say, you can't do that on the Sabbath, he says, the Father does it on the Sabbath. I do it on the Sabbath. Because the Father continues to work, I continue to work. And what he's doing is showing himself that he's equal with God. He keeps doing that. They don't like it. They get mad about it. Look what goes on. Look what he goes on to say. He says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel." Now, I want you to notice he said to us, God so loved the world. That's us. In this verse, he says, God loved the Son. See, in the same way that God loves us, God loves His Son. God loves the Son, Jesus Christ. And it says here that He shows Him all the things that Himself is doing. Once again, He's showing that He is equal, that He's equal, that He is God. And He says, listen, the Father shows me everything that He's doing. And then He says something that is really amazing. And the Father will show Him greater works than these so that you will marvel. He's saying that what you see me doing now is what the Father has shown me. But there's going to be things greater than this. What's going to be greater? Well, you know what's going to be greater? First of all, Jesus is going to go to the cross. And He's going to die on the cross to pay for the sin of every human being. And then He's going to be buried. And then He's going to rise again from the dead. So He's going to conquer death. He's going to pay for sin and conquer death. It's the death and resurrection of Christ. That's greater. And then He's going to go on to show that He is the life giver and the judge. That's greater than what He's doing here. So we're going to see that. It is powerful as He raises the dead and saves the world in a sense. Now, He begins by saying, okay, you said that I did wrong by work on the Sabbath. Well, my Father is working on the Sabbath, so I'm working on the Sabbath. The second thing is they said, you're claiming to be God. And the truth is this, Jesus would say, you're exactly right. That's who I am. Later on, we're going to see that He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I and the Father are one. Over and over, He claims to be God. Now, what we're going to see in these next few verses, that he makes Himself equal with God by two things. He is the life giver, and He is the judge. See, God is the one who gives life. God is the one who judges. Jesus said, if God is the one who gives life and judges, guess what? I'm the one who gives life. I'm the one who judges. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 21. We see that He is the life giver. Notice, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes. He's saying just as the Father is the one who's able to raise the dead and gives life, so the Son gives life. The Son is the one who gives life. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and life. We see in this book, in the Gospel of John, when you get over to chapter 11, He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. He's going to say later, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. In this passage, He says, the Father gives life, I give life. Jesus is the life giver. We're going to see throughout this book that He's going to go, we won't see it in the Gospel of John, but I'll tell you about the story, but He goes and this widow is coming out of a city called Nain, and her only son has died. Everybody's so sad. And Jesus stands and they come out of the gate of the city and they're carrying the son on the top of a thing. They're fixing to go bury him. And Jesus says, hold on, everybody stop for just a second. And then He stops them all and He goes over and He says, get up. And the boy gets up just like that, raises him from the dead. Jesus is the life giver. You remember the 12-year-old girl that died and the guy came to him and says, my daughter's sick. Please get there before she dies. And the crowd got so around him. And then finally somebody said, don't bother him anymore. She died. And Jesus said, just believe. Don't worry about it. We get there and she's dead. But He goes and says, rise up, little girl. And she gets up. And we're going to see in this book in chapter 11 that there's Lazarus been dead for 4 days. And he comes out there and Martha and Mary say, he says, move back the stone. And they said, oh, it's going to really smell bad because he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He's the life giver. He's the life giver. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. Death is not the end. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid for sin. When He rose again, He conquered death. He is the life giver. So He says, listen, just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes. He is equal with the Father. Now look at the second thing. Just keep it right there. No, keep it on that slide right there. He is the life giver, but He is also the judge. Now look what He goes on to say in the next verse. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son. Now they say, well, God the Father is the judge. And He says, no, God the Father has given all judgment to the Son. He gave it to the Son. When you stand before God, it's going to be the Son, Jesus Christ. Notice what it says, for not even the Father has judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. The way it's written in the Greek, it means he has given it to him and he will always have that. That's why the next two verses in John, in Romans 14, 11 and 12, it says, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise to God. Therefore, each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will give praise to God. Every human being will stand before Jesus Christ because he is the judge of all people, believers and unbelievers. He is the judge. So Jesus said, yeah, you want to talk about being God? Yeah, I'm God. Yeah, I'm making myself equal God because I give life just like God the Father gives life. And I'm the judge, just like you think the Father's the judge, I am the judge. He's the judge of all. I think he's the judge of all. He is equal with God because he's judge. Now, I want you to notice what he just said. He said, I'm the life giver and I'm the judge. And he goes on and tells us why the Father gave all this to Jesus. Look at verse 23. So that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. He says, I am the life giver and I am the judge, and God the Father has given that to the Son to do so that everyone will honor the Son in the same way you honor the Father. Now, if you were that time, you were Jewish, and if somebody said God, you'd say, oh, be careful. Don't say the name God. God is so great. We don't even say his name. In fact, in the Bible, the name of God was Hebrew, YHWH. They wouldn't even say the name. When they got to it for a long time, they just skipped it because they didn't want to say the name of God because it was so powerful. But then they decided later, we ought to say something. So they took the YHWH, which is the personal name of God, and then they took the word Adonai, which is another word for Lord, and they took the vowels of Adonai and the constants of YHWH and put them together, and they came up with a word called Jehovah. So if you've ever heard somebody say Jehovah, the truth is Jehovah is no such word. There's not a word in the scripture named Jehovah. It's a combination of YHWH and Adonai, Yahweh and Adonai put together, because they wouldn't say the name of God because it was so important. He says, I'm the life giver and I'm the judge so that you will honor me in the same way you honor my Father. He says, you're supposed to look at me. Jesus saying, listen, in the way that you won't even say God the Father's name, that's how you look at me, because that's who I am. I'm God. I'm the life giver, and I'm the judge. That's who Jesus is. See, the truth is, it's all about Jesus. Everything we do is all about Jesus. He's the Savior. We're not the Saviors. We don't have any part in salvation. It's by faith alone and Christ alone we're saved. It's not our faithfulness or our goodness or anything. Jesus is the Savior. How we live the Christian life, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's all about Him. So he says in verse 23, listen, why in the world am I the Savior, the life giver and the judge? Is so that all will honor the Son in the way they honor the Father. In fact, he says this, if you don't honor the Son, you're not honoring the Father who sent him. See, sometimes they're going to look at Jesus and they're going to say, we know about God the Father, but we don't know about you. And he said, if you don't know about me, you really don't know about the Father. Because if you honor the Father, you'd honor me. And if you're not honoring me, you're not honoring the Father. I know, yeah. So why did he give him the right to do all this? So that he may honor the Son. That's the plan. And he's the life giver and the judge. Now, here's the question. And the question for all of us is this. Jesus Christ is either your Savior or your judge. That's who he is. He's either the one that gives you eternal life, or he's the one in which you are separated forever from God. That's what it boils down to. The basis is faith. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and he gives to you eternal life. You reject Jesus Christ as your Savior and he gives you eternal death. You'll be separated forever. It is that simple. He is the Savior. He is the life giver. He gives you life by faith. He is the judge. You will be separated if you do not believe in Jesus Christ. I hope and pray, every one of you in this room, that you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you have trusted in him and him alone, and he gives you eternal life. I want you to see the next verse, because that's so vital. It's one of the great verses in the Bible. Look at John 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you. Now, remember, this is the second time he said, truly, truly, I say to you. He says, listen carefully. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. This verse says, when you believe, you get eternal life. And it is that simple. Now, there's something I want you to see, because there's three aspects of time in this verse. Three aspects. There's a present, there's a future, and a past. I want you to start with the present. Okay, look what it says. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has present tense eternal life. I want you to understand that right now, the moment a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, they have eternal life right now. Eternal life is by faith. Eternal life is forever with Jesus Christ. Eternal life begins the moment you believe. Some people are confused and they think you don't get eternal life till you die. You say, well, you can believe in Jesus, but when you die, you get eternal life. You get eternal life the moment you believe. Notice what it says. Truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes him who sent me has, present tense, eternal life. I want you to see this. The next thing says, it's present tense because eternal life is not just some future escape from judgment. It is now a present possession. It is an eternal relationship that begins right now with Jesus Christ. So every one of us in this room, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, the moment you believed in Christ, you have that moment eternal life. It's powerful. Now, it goes on to say more. Notice there's a future aspect, and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes him who sent me has present tense eternal life and does not come into judgment. He's talking about in the future. You will never come into judgment. John 3:18 says, he that believes is not condemned. You believe, you'll never come into any kind of judgment. You'll never be separated from the Father. Never. You will never come into judgment. You have eternal life right now. You will never come into judgment by faith in Jesus Christ. There's one more aspect, and it's past. And he says, because you have passed out of death into life. This Greek word past there, it means a past action with a continuing result. You were dead, but now you've passed out of death into life, and you will always have life. This is so good. We have gone from death to life. So you realize that in this verse, he says this. He says, present tense, when you believe, you have present tense eternal life. In the future, you will never come into any judgment. And because of past, you have gone from death to life. How is all this possible? Whoever believes. Every one of us in this room, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, right now you have eternal life. You will never come into any kind of judgment because you have already gone from death to life. Isn't that the greatest thing of all right there? What a great verse. What a great truth. This is Jesus talking to those people, and he tells them that. He is the life giver. He is the judge. Whoever believes passes from death to life. So now, I want you to see, and we'll go fast to the last part here, these last verses. I want you to see that he gives a dual thing here. He gives both spiritual life and physical life. He gives spiritual life and physical life. In verse 25, he talks about spiritual life. Watch what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you, that's the third time. He says, listen carefully. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, right now, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. When he talks about the dead, he's not talking about physically dead. He's talking about spiritually dead. We all come into the world dead in trespasses and sins. We are spiritually dead. He says, the time comes when now, when people will hear the message. They will hear the voice of the Son of God. They will hear the truth, and those who hear and believe will live. Notice what he says. An hour is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He gives spiritual life to all who believe. We were dead in our sins. We are alive. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 says. God, with his great mercy in which he loved us, we were dead in our sins, but he has made us alive and raised us up with him. Look at verse 26. He says, for just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. In 1 John, actually, it would have been good if I'd have put verses 11, 12, and 13, because it says, in this is life, or who has the Son has life, does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things are written to you, believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. He says this, the life is in the Son. If you have Jesus Christ as Savior, you have life. And so he says, just as the Father has life in himself, so he gave to the Son to have life in himself. So Jesus is the one who gives spiritual life to all who believe. Now, he puts in there that he's a judge, because he's going to talk about this in just a second. Notice, he says, and he also gave him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. Son of Man is the title of the Messiah in the book of Daniel. So he's just calling himself God again. He's calling himself the Messiah. He says, I have the authority. He's the life giver and the judge, spiritual life. Now, watch the next part. He is also the one who gives physical life. Not only does he give spiritual life by faith, he gives physical life. Notice verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming. Now, the other one says the hour is coming, it is now. This is future. Don't marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs, all who are in the graves, will hear his voice and will come forth. There's going to come a time when Jesus Christ will raise every person from the dead. All people will come back from the dead. Some people come back from the dead to live eternally with Jesus Christ. By faith in him, they have eternal life. Some people come back from the dead to be separated from God forever. It's called the second death. They will die forever. It's because they have rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. But he is going to raise the dead. The time is coming, not right now, but he says, don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth. He's going to raise all the dead. That's physical life. Now, it goes on in verse 29, and some people get confused on the verse. Let me explain it. He says, and they will come forth, those who have done, now notice it literally says, those who have done the good to a resurrection of life, and those who have committed the evil to a resurrection of judgment. The word deeds is not in there. If you've got a New American Standard, it has the word deeds. It's in italics. It's not there. It doesn't say that. It says those who have done the good. It didn't say those who have done good deeds. If you got an NIV, I think it actually says done good things or something done good. But the bottom line, he's not saying people who did good things have life, because we know that's not what the Scripture teaches. He's saying those who have done the good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done the evil. Well, what is the good and the evil? Well, the bottom line is, talking to believers and unbelievers, those who have did the good, that literally means useful. Those who have done the evil, that literally means worthless. And I think the next slide does a little bit more on that. Let me just say that the good is to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the good actually is. Because when we look at the Scripture, we realize that it's not by righteousness that a man does anything, and we're not talking about doing good to be saved. In fact, in the Gospel of John, 98 times it says you're saved by faith. The Bible clearly says you're not saved by your works of righteousness or your good deeds. In fact, the good deeds of human beings are called filthy rags. In fact, the only good that a person can so-called do is to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's why he says those who have done the good, which is to believe in Jesus to a resurrection of life, those who have committed the evil thing is to not to believe to a resurrection of judgment. So the best that we can tell there, the good is the faith in Christ, the evil is reject Christ. I think the next slide says we understand that good and worthless, not as works, but is believing and not believing. If you're confused and you say, wait a minute, it looks like it's saying you do good things to go to heaven. It doesn't. If you go back to verse 24, which is in the flow of the passage, what did he say? Whoever believes has eternal life. 98 places in the Gospel of John, whoever believes has eternal life. So be careful. This doesn't say those who did good things, they get to go to heaven. Those who did bad things, they don't go to heaven. It says those who did the good, which is to believe, gets a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil, which is to reject, to a resurrection of judgment. And that's what he's talking about, that he's the judge, because there's going to come a time when there'll be a division. Those who believed in Christ have eternal life. Those who did not believe in Christ have eternal death. That's why it's called a resurrection of judgment. Jesus is the life giver to all who believe, and he's the judge to all who reject. That's what he talks about. What have we seen? Jesus answered the religious leaders' questions. They said, you broke the Sabbath and you're equal with God. He said, yeah, I broke the Sabbath the way you look at it, because the Father is continually working and I'm the same as the Father and I'm doing what he does. And then he says, and by the way, I am equal with the Father because I'm the life giver. He's the life giver. I'm the life giver. He is the one who judges. I'm the one who judges. And so that's what Jesus did. Let me give you some applications, and that is this. First of all, realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's who he is. Jesus Christ is God, who left the glories of heaven at a point in time in history. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his Son. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, came to the earth to die on the cross, to pay for sin, rise again, conquering death, and giving eternal life to all who believe. He is equal with the Father. He works on the Sabbath just like the Father works on the Sabbath. He's the life giver just like the Father's the life giver. He's the judge just like the Father has given to him to judge all things. So realize that Jesus is God. Let me tell you, there were two views, and I didn't really bring this up earlier, but there were two views that's been throughout church history about who Jesus was, and they're both wrong. One of them was this, that when Jesus was born on the earth, he was just a normal man, and at about age 30, suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon him, and that was God coming upon him. And for a 3-year time period, he was sort of like a God person. He was God. He was a regular person, but he was God inside of him. And then when he died on the cross and he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," actually that was the Spirit going back, and the real Jesus was buried and it was gone. And so that the Jesus that the Bible, Jesus just was a man who for a period of time had God in him. That's wrong. There's another view that says, no. Jesus is God, but when Jesus came, he really wasn't a person. He looked like a person. He walked on the earth for about 30 years, 33 years, and then he went back, and he never was a real person. He's just like a spirit being. That's wrong, too. Both of those views are wrong. At a point in time in history, Jesus Christ, who's always eternally existed, became a human being, the God-man who walked on this earth, who died, was buried, rose again, walked on the earth for 40 days, ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father in a body. He will always have a body because he is the God-man. That's who he is. So don't forget, Jesus Christ is God. The second one is come to Christ for life. And I want you to think about this. Realize that he's the life giver. He is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. When you trust in him for eternal life, he gives you life forever. Not only does he give you spiritual life, he gives you physical life. Remember the great verse? Whoever believes right now you have eternal life, you will never in the future come into judgment, and you have already passed from death to life. Everyone of you in this room, if you know Christ, you have eternal life. You'll never be judged. You've gone from death to life. Isn't that the greatest? The second thing to remember, though, he's also the judge. He's the judge. And there's two things. There's a resurrection of life, which is eternal life, and the resurrection of judgment, which is a separation. And the basis is whoever believes. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you've done the good, which is believing in him. That's what he offers. He offers the gift of eternal life, and you have eternal life. And whoever rejects him, that's have done the evil, which is rejecting him. You'll be separated from him forever. Jesus Christ is the Savior and the Judge and the life giver. So may we proclaim to this community that Jesus is the Son of God, who is the life giver and the judge, and all who trust in him have life, and all those who reject him will be separated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these great truths. Lord, we realize that Jesus Christ is God, that he is equal with the Father, that he worked on the Sabbath just like the Father works on the Sabbath. He's the life giver just like the Father's life giver. He's the judge because the Father has given the judgment into his hands. He is God. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, the Son of God, to die in our place, to pay for our sins, to rise again, and to give us eternal life. Lord, thank you that we come to Jesus for life. He is the life giver. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the resurrection, and the life. We thank you he gives us spiritual life. We thank you he gives us physical life as well. Thank you that right now we have eternal life. We will never come into judgment because we have passed from death to life. Lord, we know that one day people will stand before you. And when they stand before you, you are either the Savior or the Judge. And all who believe in you have eternal life, and you're their Savior. And all who reject you have eternal death. You'll be their judge in that way, and they'll be separated forever. Lord, may we be faithful to tell people the truth, because we know there are some people, if they do not believe, they will be separated. Lord, may you use us in this room to go into this community and this state and this world to tell people the good news message of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.